Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to John chapter 3 and verse 3. And the title of the sermon today is In the Spirit, Part 1. So if you're here today, you want to come back next week and you're going to want to catch the other part of it. So In the Spirit, Part 1, and we're going to start out in John chapter 3. And in John chapter 3, we know that we are talking about Nicodemus. And Nicodemus seeks out the Lord Jesus during the night, and he has a question for him. But in verse 3, we won't read all the very first part in verse 1 and 2, but we're going to go down to verse 3. And Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus doesn't understand how that could possibly ever happen. So in verse 4, he says, Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus goes on to instruct him in verse 6, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Jesus goes on to instruct him that there is a physical birth and that there is a spiritual birth. And every believer that has been born again from above, it is a spiritual birth that has taken place in your life. Now turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to start reading from verse 1. So Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, and verse 1 says, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By the grace you have been saved, and raised up together, to made it sit in together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceedingly riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Amen. So verse 1, when we go back to verse 1 again, it says, And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin. Those who do not know Jesus are what? They are dead in their trespasses and sins. And you've heard me say so many, many times, Jesus is not in the business of making good people out of bad people. He's in the business of making live people out of dead people, because they're dead in their trespasses and sins. Before you knew Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you were what? Spiritually dead. In other words, they are spiritually dead. Those who do not know Christ, now listen, are governed by their will, the flesh, and the god of this world, as it's outlined in this scripture. My will, my wants, my desires. That's how I'm governed. So everybody in the world, we wonder why the world's such an ugly place, because they're being governed by the flesh. They're being governed by the god of this world. We see all the tragedy that's taking place all over this world around us. Why? It's because those people are governed by the god of this world, the adversary, and they're governed by their flesh. Now look at verse 1 again. He says, "And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the adversary, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience," those that do not know Jesus. Verse 3, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others." In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says what? That we are born again, that we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. And that new creation that took place in your life is a spiritual birthing through the time that you accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. You become a new creation. Spiritually, we are new creations in Christ. Even though we are spiritually born again, now listen to me, even though that we are spiritually born again, our will is not reborn. So what's the difference? When we were not saved, we were governed by the flesh and the god of this world. But when we are spiritually rebirthed, we are supposed to be governed and ruled by the Holy Spirit. That's the difference. I'm a child of God and I'm led by His Spirit. Just because you're saved and born again, God doesn't turn you into a robot. You still have a free will to choose. So let me give you an example. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians in chapter 2. 1 Corinthians in chapter 2. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we go to verse 9. There's quite a bit to read here, but it's worth the read. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2, go to verse 9. Verse 9 says, "But it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit." Now chapter 3, verse 1. "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now you were not able to receive it. Even now you are still not able. For you are still carnal. For where there is envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal, behaving like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal?" I'd encourage you, when you go home today, you read chapters 1 through 3 completely. They're wonderful to read. But what I want to point out to you today is this. In chapters 2 and 3, Paul points out, or he identifies, three types of people. So we'll look at the first person. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Verse 14, "But the natural man." So the first person that Paul identifies today is the natural man. What is the natural man? We'll look at verse 14. "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." In other words, natural man is the individual that is unsaved. So here we're talking about, you're still in your natural state. You're still dead in your trespasses and sins. And you can't receive the things that God has for you because they are spiritually discerned, because you are still in your natural state. That's the first person that he identifies. Number two is in verse 15. And when you look at verse 15 of chapter 2, he says, "But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one." So the second person that we identify here is spiritual man or spiritual woman. Those that have been born again. Those that know and are walking in the will and the truth of God, being led by the presence of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Is that who you are today? That's who we need to be. We need to be children of God that are led by the Holy Spirit. These churches that have trouble in the churches, you know why? It's because the spiritual people get over in the flesh. And when you get over in the flesh, you're going to have problems. Now there's a third person that he identifies here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal." As to babes in Christ. "I fed you with milk and not with solid food, but until now you were not able to receive it." Even now are still not able. "For you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, divisions among you, you are not carnal," are you not carnal, "and behaving like mere men." That's who is the carnal people? Those that have been born again, but are not walking in the will of God, but they are walking in the flesh. When I was born again, I was spiritually reborn, but my soul was not. Which includes my personality, my intellect, my emotions, and my will. But now that I am spiritually born again, I have the leadership and the guidance of the Holy Spirit through the power of the Holy Spirit to bring my will in line with God's will. What do we think that sanctification is? Sanctification is the cleansing and then the separating of individuals closer into a more intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. How are we sanctified? The scripture says we are sanctified by His Word and we are sanctified by His Spirit. You can't expect a brand new born-again believer to walk in the maturity of someone that has been walking with the Lord Jesus for 20 years, because the Lord is still doing a work of modifying, molding, and correcting in their life to bring their will into the will of God. Over and over and over, it says in the scripture that you have a choice. We see that in Galatians chapter 5 that we're going to look at. That you're going to make the decision. Are you going to walk in the flesh or are you going to walk in the Spirit? These are the fruits of the Spirit. These are the fruits of the flesh. And who is he talking to? He's talking to the church. You have been born again spiritually. And I think that sometimes when a person's born again, they automatically look in the mirror and say, "Man, I got to look different because I sure feel different on the inside." And there is a work of sanctification of the cleansing that is taking place there. But your will is not completely modified because you still have a will. You still make the decision of whether you're going to walk in the truth of God's word or you're going to walk in yourself. But now that I am spiritually born again, I have the leadership and the guidance of the Holy Spirit through the power of the Holy Spirit to bring my will in line with God's will. Now turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. In verse 1 it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." We as Christians must never think that we're everything in a bag of chips. You got that? We are all sinners saved by grace. And if there's anyone in this room as a Christian, born again, and maybe you've been born again for 50 years, that did not sin, I want you to come up here this week and tell us all about this week that you performed and you didn't sin because you didn't ever have a negative thought, you didn't ever have a bad thought, you didn't ever want something to turn out something the way that you wanted it to turn out. We all fall short of the glory of God. That's why we have the presence of the Holy Spirit to modify us, to bring us into the truth of the glory of God. And we're not even getting to the good part of this sermon yet. I don't even know if we'll get there today. But in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it says, what shall we, in verse 1, Romans 8, verse 1, there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but walk how? According to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Have you got your head straight? Have you got your mind straight? Are you over in the Spirit? Let me tell you, if you have a sickness come down on your body and you've got something you got to deal with, you better get out of the flesh and you better get in the Spirit. And how many times is that taking place in each and every one of our lives? If you're facing temptation, brother and sister, you better get out of the flesh and you better get into the Spirit. Because if you stay in the flesh, you're going to sin. Well, I read that scripture today when Jesus was led up into the wilderness in Matthew chapter 4. He was led by the Spirit. And if He was led by the Spirit, He was in the Spirit. And if He was in the Spirit, what a wonderful time for Him to face temptation, because He was not going to fall to that temptation because He was in the Spirit of the living God. Saints, we need to be in the Spirit. Our decisions for this church need to be in the Spirit. The things that we treat one another respectfully, we need to be in the Spirit, because when you get over in the flesh, you're going to do something wrong every time. The scripture goes on here to say in chapter 8, for those in verse 5, for those who live according to flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. We can't think that we are so high and mighty as saints that it's only the unbeliever that doesn't get in, that is the only one that gets into the flesh. Do you think that? Do you think that the unbeliever is the only person that ever gets into the flesh? Absolutely not. And that's why Paul is teaching us and teaching them in the Corinthian church that there are those that are unsaved, there's those that are saved, but there's those that are saved that are still carnal because they're still walking in the ways of the flesh. And he was encouraging them, you need to stop it. One was bragging, I was saved by Paul. And the other one was, well, we were saved by Apollos. Our salvation life must be greater than yours. And what does the scripture go on to say? Neither Paul or Apollos were anything. One watered, one sowed. But who was it that gave the increase? God was the one that gave the increase. We need to be looking towards Him in all things. He says in verse 6, but to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. We're not supposed to be in the flesh. We're supposed to be in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not His. So there's a saved and there's the unsaved, and we look at the unsaved, we say automatically they are going to be in the flesh, but we should not be, because we are supposed to be walking in the Spirit. We are to be governed by the Spirit and not governed by the flesh. Christian, you are to be led by the Spirit and not by the flesh. And too many Christians are being led by their own personality, their own intellect, their own emotions, and their own will. Too many Christians are led by the part of them that has not been born again. I want you to think about that. The church in America's problem is it's being led by the flesh. It's not being led by the Spirit. All of a sudden, we know how to do this. God, you just sit in over here in the corner, and I'm an expert leading people, teaching people, equipping people. I will grow this church. I will do what I think is best. And Lord, if we need you, we're going to call on you. Rather than saying, Lord, we need you right now. We need you to lead and guide and direct everything that we do and everything that we think. Let me give you an example. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, it says, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. But through love, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you will love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit. You see that battle that's raging? The flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, so that you would not do the things that you wish. Now we see that in the book of Romans. I cannot do the things I want to do, and I keep doing the things I don't want to do. Have you ever done that? Well, everybody should raise their hand, because we've all been there at one time or another. I keep doing the things I don't want to do. I keep doing the things I know that God doesn't want me to do. Why is that? Because of that struggle of the flesh that is on the inside. He goes on to say here, but if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revilries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in the past, that these who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are in Christ have crucified the flesh with the passions and the desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another. Now this is where we're going to get to the sermon. The Holy Spirit is in perfect harmony with God. So when we say, and I'll ask you the question because you're awful quiet today. When we say God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, these three are one. They are in perfect harmony. You would agree with that?
Amen.
So the Spirit of God, when you were born again, and the Spirit of God that came in your life is in perfect harmony with God. If you are not in harmony with God, it's not the Spirit in you's fault. It's the flesh that you're getting over into. That's whose fault it is. The Spirit of God is in perfect harmony with the Father. The Spirit in you that dwells in your life is in perfect harmony with God. If you walk, your walk is not in harmony with God, you're walking in the flesh. It's not an excuse, it's a fact. It's a fact. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 1. I love this verse, and I'm going to point it out to you because I've been thinking about it for the last year. I always say that I am just a simple country preacher. I don't read a lot of books. I don't listen to a lot of speakers because the Lord told me not to. He said, I want you to pray, and I will tell you what you need to share and led by the Word of God with your church family of what they need. So you don't see that I get a book and I read a book and we preach a different chapter every week. I know a lot of preachers have done that, and there's times I've utilized that as well. But since we started in this church, the Lord just says, I want you to trust in me. I want you to seek me, and I will tell you what you need to tell the people. So what are we asking on? We're not relying on man's wisdom. We're relying on God's wisdom. So also I have to tell you, I'm not the smartest book on the shelf either. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. So when I read this scripture that I'm going to read to you, that's what I'm talking about. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, it says, Behold, he is coming. See, Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him. We're talking about Jesus. Even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Hallelujah. But in verse 9, he says, I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, and what you see right in the book, and send it to the seven churches in Asia. It says in verse 10, I was in the Spirit. Now, I've thought about this verse for a whole year. Yeah, you can say you're not very smart. That's okay, I'll receive that. But I've thought about this for a whole year, what this totally means and what it should mean to us, and how that I could very well, the best way that I could communicate this to you. On this day, right now, I was one with God in harmony, and I was in the Spirit, and the Spirit is one with God. Now think about how important that is. And I've got to go because we're getting late. But I will end with this today. In whatever that you're dealing with in your life, I want this to become a personal motto for you. I need to get out of the flesh, and I need to get in the Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we come before you today in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we thank you for your nearness and your closeness. And we thank you, Father, that we have the Holy Spirit to teach us and to lead us and to guide us. And I believe that there's some people that are just receiving this message and they're just thinking about it. Thinking about it in their own life. Boy, there's been times I've got over in the flesh. There's been times in my years of serving you, I've got over in the flesh many, many times. Some of those times I'm not very proud of. And I'm glad, Father, that you're always there to forgive, to restore, and to bring us back into that intimate relationship. And I know that you're available for everyone that is here. Father, we pray that, Lord, as we leave this place today, that if there's anything in our life that we need to give over to you, that we give it over to you right now. Jesus, take this. I don't want it. I don't want it to be a part of my life. I don't ever want to do it again. I want to be in the Spirit, because then I know I'm in harmony with you. As we leave here and go our separate ways, may your hand be upon each and every one of our lives. We ask this all today as we submit it to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 You are dismissed. Have a great day.